एंड देन वी स्टार्टेड अपृथक धर्म शीलास्ते सर्वे दाक्षायणा नृप पित्रा प्रोक्ता प्रजा सर्गे प्रतीचिम प्रययुर दिशम. सो दिस ऑल्सो आई थिंक वी सॉ द अदर डे दैट अपृथक धर्मशीला दैट ऑल दीज हरियश्वास वेर लाइक 10,000 सन्स वेर ऑफ सिमिलर कैरेक्टर एंड बींग ऑर्डर्ड बाई देयर फादर दे went in the western direction to perform austerities and tatra narayana saras teertham sindhu samudrayoho sangamo yatra sumahat muni siddha nishevitam. So in the western direction they went to where the river sindhu meets with the sea, and there is a place of pilgrimage known as narayana saras in where many advanced sages were performing their sadhana. So then I think we did 4 and 5 also the other day. Anyone remember still which verse we completed the other day? Anyone?
Which I guess the 13th verse.
Oh, did we cover till the 13th verse the other day? Are you sure?
I guess I read extra.
Okay. No, I think we probably completed only till the 5th verse, and then I think it got disconnected. Okay.
I was reading yesterday.
Okay. In that holy place, the Hariyashwas purified by touching the lake's water and bathing in them, and inclined towards the activities of the Paramahamsas, they performed severe austerities in that place called Narayana Saras. So Narada saw them as they were intent upon increase the population as ordered by their father. So this is the situation. So Narada Muni comes there and he saw that here was a group of people who had similar nature. They had the same frequency, and they all were intent on performing solid austerity to increase the population. Narada Muni thought, look, anyway, these people are not like useless people. They are definitely inclined to perform austerities. And probably they seem like intent on hearing some good instructions also. So why not utilize this opportunity and help them perform austerities for a better cause? So, Ishware tadadineshu balisheshu dvishastucha. Prema Maitri Kripa Upeksha Yak Karoti Samadhyama. So Narada Muni, even though an Uttamadhikari, he plays the role of a Madhyamadhikari, and he sees the potential in the Hariyashwas to take up to bhakti. He sees them as potential candidates. And also because they were on the same frequency, so the same kind of preaching would work for everyone. You know, he need not tailor make different types of preaching for a different audience. They were the very similar audience, so same preaching would work for all of them. So he decides, okay, let me try. So Narada Muni reaches there. Okay, so now we have to continue our discussion from here. Okay. Uvacha chata Hariyashvaha कथम स्रक्षयत वै प्रजाः अदृष्ट्वान्तम्बुवो यूयम् बालीशाबत पालकाः ततैकपुरुषं राष्ट्रं बिलं चादृष्टनिर्गमं बहुरूपं स्त्रियं चापि पुमांसं पुंश्चलीपतिं नदीम् उभयतो वाहाम् पंच पंचाद्भुतं गृहं क्वचिद्धं संचित्रकतां शौरपव्यां स्वयं भ्रमि. सो द फर्स्ट थिंग दैट ही स्पीक्स टू देम इज एन एलिगरी. यू नो, आफ्टर प्राचीन बर्हि, यू नो, ही कम्स टू द ग्रेट ग्रैंडसन ऑफ प्राचीन द ग्रेट ग्रैंडसन्स ऑफ प्राचीन बर्हि. Prachina Barhi's sons were the Prachetas. The Prachetas' son was Daksha, and Daksha's sons were and the Daksha's sons were the Haryashvas. So after preaching to the great grandfather, he has come to preach to the great grandsons. So he said, "Oh Haryashvaha." So and the same, he uses a very similar thing. Of course, Prachinabhar, he was very deep rooted in karma, so he had to give a very long allegory. But Haryashvas, he found them probably more receptive, not so deep rooted attachments. Probably, it's not mentioned. I am just guessing. So he does not have to speak much. And for Shavalashvas, hardly anything. He just says, "You follow your brothers." That's all. So he says, "Oh Haryashvas, katam srakshata vai prajaha? Why should you create progeny? Yuyam bata palakaha. I understand that you are princess, but Balisha, you are inexperienced. Adrishtva bhuvo antam, and you have not seen the end of this earth. Even though you are princess, you all are, but you have not seen, reality yet." He says, "Tata ekapurusham rashtram." You should know that there is a kingdom in which only one king lives. You are like 10,000 princes. So there is one kingdom where only one king lives. Bilam cha adrishta nirgamam. And there is a hole from which, having entered, no one emerges back. Yadgatvana nivartante. There is a hole. You enter into it, you can. There is only entrance. Like Abhimanyu's Chakravyuha. There is only entry, there is no exit. And he says, Bahurupam Striyam cha. And there is a woman there with many forms. And then Pumamsam Pumschalipatim. And there is one man who is the husband of the unchaste woman. Nadim Ubhayato Vaham. And there is a river which is flowing in both directions. Okay. And then he says that Pancha Pancha Adbutam Griham. Pancha Pancha is 5 into 5, 25. There is a very wonderful house made out of 25 materials. Kvachid Hamsam Chitrakatam. And there is a swan which vibrates various sounds, sweet sounds. Kshaura Pavyam Swayam Brahmi. Swayam Brahmi means self-rotating. Kshaurapavyam. Kshaurapavyam means here it says an automatically revolving object made of sharp razors and thunderbolts. Now this is like a very amazing analogy, allegory that he is giving. Let's try to go over the allegory. What he says, Narada Muni says, three verses. He says, "Oh Haryashvas, why should you create progeny? Even though you are princess, you have actually not seen the world sufficiently." Okay. Actually, you should understand that there is a kingdom in which only one king lives. And there is a hole having entered which one does not come out. And there is a woman there with many forms. And there is one man who is the husband of that unchaste woman. And then there is a river flowing in both directions. And a wonderful house made of 25 elements. And there is a swan which vibrates with various sounds. And there is an automatically revolving object which is made of sharp razors and thunderbolts. Okay. Now, I want you to close your book and unmute yourself, and one by one you start recollecting what are the various aspects that of the allegory that Narada Muni has till now mentioned to the Hariyashwas.
There is one man living in kingdom, whole kingdom.
There is not one man, one king. A kingdom with one one king.
There is a woman in that bell, that hole.
Okay. There is a kingdom where only one man lives, and there is a hole having entered which no one comes out. Okay, what else he says?
There is a woman there with many forms.
Now, there is a woman with many forms, and then?
She has a husband,
and that woman is unchaste. Okay, and then?
House made up of 25 elements.
There is a house made up of 25 elements.
Rivers okay. In both directions.
There is a river which flows in both directions. Okay.
The swan making vibrating sounds.
Swan making various kinds of vibrating sounds. Okay. And then?
And then the razor bolt, thunderbolts and razors. There's an automatically revolving object with thunderbolts and razors.
So how many, total how many allegories have been mentioned till now? Did anyone count?
Eight
allegories. Okay. So first is the kingdom where only one man lives. Second, a hole from which no one emerges. Third is a woman having many forms. Fourth is the husband of that woman. And fifth is a river flowing in both directions. Sixth is the wonderful home made of 25 materials. Seventh is a swan making various sounds. And eighth is the automatically revolving object. So these eight things. So we have to understand what these eight are. So here Srila Vishnu Chakradhakur writes, why should these sons, pure-hearted and qualified for liberation, take to the path of karma on the order of their father? So this was Narada Muni's rationale. He was thinking, they are qualified for liberation. Why should they just suffer in the samsara again? After giving them confidential teachings, I will liberate them. Like that Narada Muni was thinking. Thus the merciful Narada Muni spoke enigmatic, metaphorical words to them. O Hariyashwas, how will you create progeny when you have not seen the end of the earth? One should not say that this statement will be fulfilled on its own later when you start ruling the planet. One may say, look, yes, we have not seen till the end of the planet, but once we become kings, it will automatically accomplish. That's not a major issue. Someone may say that. And therefore he says, Balakaha, you are foolish because you are young. And Vishnu Chakradhakur says another version has Palakaha, which would mean kings actually. Though you are protectors of people, you are foolish. How disappointing. Like that he says. This sentence continues till verse 9. 9 is the next verse which we have not seen yet. How will you create, not knowing about that place with one man, a country and a whole? You don't know that place. You know, without knowing that place, can you rule? There is a river flowing in both directions. There is an astonishing house made of 25 elements. This is Vishnu, he says. Okay. He is called an astonishing house because the devotees can remain in the 25 elements, since they take on spiritual qualities by the mercy of the Lord. He is called an astonishing house. The house made of 25 elements is Lord Vishnu, because the devotees can remain in the 25 elements, since they take on spiritual qualities by the mercy of the Lord. Of course, as Prabhupada says, whatever, see, 25 elements are, the elements that have been discussed in, the Sankhya. So, 24 elements, which are products of Pradhan, and Pradhan itself is the 25th element. So that way 25 elements are there. And the devotees who are situated within this universe made of 24 elements, by practice of bhakti, develop spiritual qualities by the mercy of the Lord. Yasya asti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasateswara. Then he says, there is a sharp object made of razors and thunderbolts. Okay. So there is not much elaboration on this till now. Let's see a little later. Okay. Any purport?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Narad Muni was saw that the boys known as the Hareshwars were already purified because of living in that holy place and were practically ready for liberation. Why then should they be encouraged to become entangled in family life?
Can you read a little louder, or can you come closer to the mic?
Now, Prabhuji, audible?
Yeah.
Yes, Prabhuji, now it is audible?
Yeah, audible.
Why then should they be encouraged to become entangled in family life, which is so dark that once having entered in it, one cannot leave it? Through this analogy, Narad Muni asked them to consider why they should follow their father's order to be entangled in family life. Indirectly, he asked them to find within the cores of their hearts the situation of super soul, Lord Vishnu. For then, they would truly be experienced. In other words, one who is too involved in this material environment and does not look within the core of his heart is increasingly entangled in the illusory energy. Narad Muni's purpose was to get the sons of Prajapati Daksha to divert their attention towards spiritual realization instead of involving themselves in the ordinary but complicated affairs of propagation. The same advice was given by Prahlad Maharaj to his father. Tat sadhu manne survarya dehinam sada samudvigna dhiyam asadvirhat hetvatma patam grahamandha kupam vanam gato yad harimashayeta. In the dark veil of family life, one is always full of anxiety because of having accepted a temporary body. If one wants to free himself from this anxiety, one should immediately leave family life and take shelter of Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan. Narad Muni advised the Hareshwars not to enter household life, since they were already advanced in spiritual knowledge. Why should they be entangled in that way?
Is the purport over?
Yes, please.
Okay. Any quick comments, questions before we move forward?
Would you like any reason why they are called as Hareshwars?
Any reason why they are called Hareshwars?
Yes, please.
No idea. I don't have. Anyone else knows? Okay. Yeah. Any other comments? Questions? Okay. Ninth verse. Let's chant. Katam swapitur adesham avidvam so vipaschitah anurupam avignaya aho sargam karishyata. Katam sargam karishyata. How are you going to create? Swapituhu adesham avidvamsaha. So now he had sufficiently confused them by giving that metaphor, that allegory. Now he is telling, actually, how will you create, because you have not understood the instruction of your father only properly. Vipaschitaha, your father is very knowledgeable. But you have not been able to understand his instructions. Anurupam avignaya. You have not considered everything and understood his instructions properly. So therefore, I don't think you are yet ready to create, because your father's instructions, your father is very knowledgeable, but you have not really understood his instructions properly. There is no commentary. Is there a purport by Prabhupada?
No problem.
No. Okay. So now the allegory has been presented. Now, how the Harishwas understand this allegory and eventually they renounce and go. So this is very interesting. Okay. Shri Shuka Vacha Tam Nishamyata Harishwa Autpattika Manishaya Vacha Kutam to Devarshehe Swayam Vimam Rushur Swayam Vimam Rushur Dhiya Tad Devarshehe Kutam Vacha Nishamya. Hearing these very twisted words or enigmatic words of Devarshi Narad, Swayam Vimam Rushur Dhiya, the Harishwas considered those words using their intelligence. Autpattika Manishaya, with their natural intelligence, they considered these words. Autpattika means very natural. Dhiya is intelligence. So with their they were naturally very intelligent people. So with their natural intelligence, they considered the words of Narada Muni. Is there a purport? There is no commentary. Is there a purport?
No purport.
Bhukshetram jiva samgyam yad anadi nija bandhanam adrishtva tasya nirvanam kim asat karma bhir bhavet. So first he said, not seeing the end of this world. Uska matlab kya hai? What is the meaning of this? Adrishtva bhukshetram. Okay, you see, that was also metaphorical. We considered only 8 metaphors. So here Narada Muni calling them, you have not seen the end of the world, was not literal. That was also metaphorical. So that was another metaphor. So there was no, it was not 8, it was actually 9 allegories there. Adrishtva bhukshetram. Not seeing the end or destruction of the subtle body, which Narada Muni called as earth. Yet jiva samgyam, of the jiva, anadi nija bandhanam. And what is the nature of the subtle body? It causes bondage without beginning. Anadi karma phale, padi bhavarna vajale. So, like that. So, the subtle body has created bondage without beginning. So without achieving the destruction of the subtle body, because destruction of the subtle body means liberation. So without achieving liberation, kim asat karma bir bhavet, what will be the result of your performing karma yoga? So that is the meaning of, how will you create or how will you follow your instruction without having seen the end of this earth? That is what Narada Muni said. The meaning of that statement is that without seeing the end of your subtle body, which is liberation, what is the use of performing all this karma yoga? That is what here he is indicating. That is how they understood that statement of Narada Muni. Not seeing the end or destruction of the subtle body of the jiva, which causes bondage without beginning, what will be the result of your performance of karma yoga? What is the use? So actually we counted 8 and now we counted 9, but actually according to Vishnachakraya Thakur there are 10 items. So the 10 items mentioned by Narada are explained in 10 verses to understand their meanings clearly. So what are those 10 things? In 10 verses we are going to discuss. First thing that he said is, without having seen the end of earth, meaning without having seen the end of your subtle body, what are you going to accomplish by performing this karma yoga? That is the meaning. So first there is an explanation of not seeing the end of earth. Earth refers to the subtle body, the cause of bondage without beginning for the soul. So, you know, we don't know when the living entity, you know, got conditioned. No one can trace that out. So since that time, the subtle body has been with the soul, giving rise to various different types of gross bodies. So without destroying it, how can you, what are you going to accomplish just by performing karma yoga? Nirvana means destruction by knowledge. What can result from insubstantial karma yoga? Rather, you should strive to destroy karma. Okay. This is the first allegory. Is it clear? Is there any questions or comments before we move on to Srila Prabhupada's purport? Okay, is there a purport?
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah.
Narman spoke to Haryashwas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, about 10 allegorical subjects: the king, the kingdom, the river, the house, the physical elements, and so forth. After considering this by themselves, the Haryashwas could understand that the living entity encaged in this body seeks happiness, but takes no interest in how to become free from his engagement. This is a very important verse, since all the living entities in the material world are very active, having obtained their particular types of bodies. A man works all day and night for sense gratification, and animals like hogs and dogs also work for sense gratification all day and night. Birds, beasts, and all other conditioned living entities engage in various activities without knowledge of soul engaged within the body. Especially in the human form of body, one's duty is to act in such a way that he can release himself from his engagement. But without the instructions of Narada or his representative in the disciplic succession, people blindly engage in bodily activities to enjoy Maya Sukha, flickering temporary happiness. They do not know how to become free from their material engagement. Rushabdev therefore said that such activity is not at all good, since it engages the soul again and again in the body, subjected to the threefold miseries of material condition. The Haryashwas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, could immediately understand the purport of Narada's instructions. Our Krishna consciousness movement is especially made for such enlightenment. We are trying to enlighten humanity so that people may come to the understanding that they should work hard in tapasya for self-realization and freedom from the continuous bondage of birth, death, old age, and disease in one body after another. Maya, however, is very strong. She is expert in putting impediments in a way of this understanding. Therefore, sometimes one comes to the Krishna consciousness movement but again falls into the clutches of Maya, not understanding importance of this movement.
Yeah. Okay. Any quick comments before we move on to the next verse? Okay. Next, he's going to talk about the one person in the universe, in that kingdom. Eka eveshwarasturyo bhagavan swashraya parah tam adrishtva bhavam pumsa kim asat karma bir bhavet. Okay. Adrishtva bhagavan swashraya parah. Adrishtva, not seeing. Or it could also mean not worshipping. The Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, Swa-Ashraya. Swa-Ashraya means he is his own shelter. The independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yekayeva Ishwaraha, who is the one person in the universe. Turyaha, who is beyond the states of waking, dreaming and deep sleep. Okay. So which means you cannot realize the Supreme Lord because this waking up, dream, and deep sleep, all three are states of our conscious, or states of material consciousness. So, through any of these three types of material consciousness, one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is called as Turiyaha. not seeing or not worshipping the Supreme Lord, who is the one person in the universe, who is beyond the states of waking, dreaming and deep sleep, abhavam pumsaha, and who releases the devotees from bondage. Kim asat karma bir bhavet? So this, you know, again and again. Kim asat karma bir bhavet? It came in the previous verse also. So it is coming in this verse also. Kim asat karma bir bhavet? You see the fourth line. Bhukshetram jiva samgyamyat anadi nijabandhanam adrishtva tasya nirvanam kim asat karma bir bhavet? This verse is, Yeka eveshwarasturyo bhagavan swashraya paraha tam adrishtva bhavam pumsaha kim asat karma bir bhavet? So that is the essence. Why are you, what is the use of your insubstantial karma yoga? Because that is not going to lead you to see or worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the one person in this universe. So the kingdom is the universe, and the one person in that universe is the Supreme Lord. Ekam evad vitiya nasti, you know, like that. And who is beyond the states of waking, dreaming and deep sleep, and who releases the devotees from bondage. So without understanding that person, without worshipping that person, what is the use of this insubstantial karma yoga? Kim asat karma vir bhavet? That's what he is indicating here. So this verse explains one kingdom with one person, the second allegory. Turyaha refers to that fourth state different from waking, dreaming and deep sleep states. The kingdom is the universe. Abhavam means the Lord by whom samsara does not exist for the devotees. So, by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, one overcomes the fear of samsara. Okay. Not seeing the Lord means not perceiving Him through worship. One should therefore worship Him. That's what the second allegory is. You know, there is a kingdom with one person. That kingdom is the universe, and that one person is the Supreme Lord, okay, who is beyond the material states of waking, dreaming and deep sleep, and who releases His devotees from bondage. So without knowing Him, what is the use of insubstantial karma yoga? That is what here Srila, sorry, the Haryashwas, they are understanding this allegorical statement about a kingdom with one person made by Srila Narada Muni. Any quick comments, questions before we move on to Srila Prabhupada's purport? Okay, Adi Gopal Prabhu, is there a purport?
Yes, Puji.
Yeah.
Narada Muni had mentioned a kingdom where there is only one king with no competitor. The complete spiritual world, and specifically cosmic manifestation, has only one proprietor or enjoyer, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond this material manifestation. The Lord has therefore been described as Turiya, existing on the fourth platform. He has also been described as Abhava. The word Bhava, which means takes birth, comes from the word Bhu, to be. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 8.19, Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate, the living entities in the material world must be repeatedly born and destroyed. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is neither Bhutva nor Praliyate. He is eternal. In other words, He is not obliged to take birth like human beings or animals, which repeatedly take birth and die because of ignorance of the soul. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is not subjected to such changes of body, and one who thinks otherwise is considered a fool. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanum ashitam. Narada Muni advises that human beings not waste their time simply jumping like cats and monkeys without real benefit. The duty of human being is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Okay. Is that the end of purport?
Yes, please.
Okay. basically Prabhupada emphasizes, you know, ultimately jivasya tattva jagyasa narto yascheha karma bihi. The purpose of life is not for what is that? Kamasya nindri priti labo jiveta yavata jivasya tattva jagyasa narto yascheha karma bihi. Even though by practice of various kinds of dharma, definitely artha and kama will come, but the goal of performing dharma should not be to gain artha and kama, rather it should be tattva jigyasa. And who is that tattva, or what is that tattva? Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdyate. Like that. So again the last line is kim asat karma bir bhavet. What is the use of insubstantial karmas? He talks about that hole having entered which no one comes back. Kim asat karma bir bhavet. What is the use of insubstantial karmas performed? Pratyak dhama avida. Pratyak dhama is the abode of the Lord. Avida is one who is ignorant of the abode of the Lord. What is the use of insubstantial karmas performed by a person ignorant of the Lord's abode? Yad gatva, having visited that place, puman na eva eti, one does not have to return back. Yata bilaswargam gataha, just as one goes to Patala and does not return. I mean, okay, let's see if there is an explanation of this. I mean, definitely Patala is not an eternal place, because I mean, one cannot eternally stay in Patala, because Patala itself will not stay eternally. There must be some meaning to this. We will see. What is the use of insubstantial karmas performed by a person ignorant of the Lord's abode, upon going to which he does not return? Just as yata bilaswargam gato, just as a person who goes to the bilaswarga, the patala, he does not return back. What is the meaning? This verse explains the hole from which one does not return. Having gone to the abode of the Lord, one does not return, just as one does not return from patala, since one becomes attached to its enjoyment. That is the point. Okay. The problem is that one would not want to return from the bilaswarga. That is from that person's point of view. Because it is so blissful there. But of course, chine punye marte lokam vishanti. Once his punya gets over, he has to come back. So he says, what is the use of the ignorant person performing karmas? He should actually strive to attain Vaikuntha. That is what he is indicating. So what is the kim asat karma bir bhavet? What is the use of your performing all this useless temporary karma if you have not understood that abode of the Supreme Lord Vaikuntha, having gone where one does not have to return back, and that abode cannot be attained by karma? Because you have not understood that place, you are so eagerly getting ready to perform karma. That's what he is indicating. Any quick comments before we move on to Srila Prabhupada's purport? Okay. Adi Gopalpo, is there a purport?
Yes.
Yeah.
As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15.6, Yad Gatvana Nivartante Tad Dhamma Parama Mama. There is a region from which, having gone, one does not return to material world. This region has been repeatedly described. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Krishna says, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tattvataha tattva deham punar janma naiti mamiti. So Arjuna, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities, does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode. O Arjuna, If one can properly understand Krishna, who has already been described as the Supreme King, he does not return here after giving up his material body. This fact has been described in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Puman naivaiti yad gatva. He does not return to this material world, but returns home back to Godhead to live an eternally blissful life of knowledge. Why do people not care about this? What will be the benefit of taking birth again in this material world, sometimes as a human being, sometimes a demigod, and sometimes a cat or a dog? What is the benefit of wasting time in this way? Krishna has very definitely asserted in Bhagavad Gita 8.15, Ma upetya punarjanma dukkhalayam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmanana samsiddhim paramangata. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. One's real concern should be to free himself from the repetition of birth and death and attain the topmost perfection of life by living with the Supreme King in the spiritual world. In these verses, the sons of Dakshas repeatedly say, Kim asat karma bhi bhavet? What is the use of impermanent fruitive activities? Yes, please.
Your voice, the last 10 seconds, it broke. I think you are just reading the last sentence, I think. In this verse, he says, the sons of Daksha said, Kim asat karma bir bhavet, right?
Yes.
Like that you are mentioning. Can you just read from there?
In these verses, the sons of Daksha repeatedly say, Kim asat karma bir bhavet? What is the use of impermanent fruitive activities?
That's all, right?
Yes.
Okay, anything? Any discussion? Before we move on to the next verse.
Praji, this Kim Asat Karma Bir Bhavet, that has been told by Narad Muni, right?
Nay, this is what the Haryashwas are understanding based on what Narad Muni spoke.
They are presenting their understanding. Okay.
Yeah, this is their understanding. They are intelligent, they understood. Okay, anything else? Yeah.
And pretty this like in the purport of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we saw that, you know, they did not want to return from Patal because they were attached to its enjoyment. So what we can understand that even in the lower planetary systems there is enjoyment, you know, good enough in our enjoyment to which one can become attached. That this is not the hellish planets, right? I mean, Patal is
no. This is like secondary heavens, Bilaswargas.
Bilaswargas, correct.
Yeah. They are also heavenly, but their level of enjoyment is a little less than the actual heavens.
Yes, true.
They are like Sesha Punya Upabhogasthans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Nana Rupatmano Buddhihi Swairin. Vairiniva gunanvita tannishtam agatasyeha kimasat karma birbhavet. Svairini buddhihi, the unchaste woman is the material intelligence. Svairini. So Svairini is an unchaste woman. It represents buddhihi. Nana rupa atmanaha, with many forms absorbed in material objects. So that is the woman of many forms. Many forms, the woman of many forms indicates the material intelligence absorbed in various kinds of material objects. So it takes various forms. And it is endowed with many qualities like learning, gunanvita. Nana Rupa Atmano Buddhihi Swairiniva Gunanvita. Gunanvita, that intelligence is endowed with lot of qualities. Kim Asat Karma Birbhavet, what is the use of insubstantial karmas performed, tad nishtam agatasya, by a person who does not discern the good and bad tendencies of the intelligence. So, if one is not intelligent enough to understand if his intelligence has been contaminated or not, if his intelligence is acting under the right, on the right platform or not, one who has no one who is incapable of discerning whether his intelligence has been contaminated or not, what is the use of the insubstantial karmas that he performs? So that's what they understood. The when he gave the example, when he gave the allegory of an unchaste woman who stays there, so that unchaste woman represents with many forms, indicates the intelligence. The woman represents the intelligence with many forms, indicating absorbed in many material objects, and gunanvita indicates endowed with many qualities like learning. And one who cannot understand the good and bad tendencies of that intelligence, he is what is the use of his performing so many insubstantial karmas like that? Srila Vishnu Acharya Thakur says, this verse explains the woman with many forms. The intelligence is absorbed in material pleasures and not in Krishna. Therefore, it is called as Svairini, unchaste, and endowed with qualities like beauty, grace, and learning. What is the use of insubstantial karmas performed by a person who does not consider or know the intelligence's attraction for beneficial or detrimental objects? So one who cannot understand whether the intelligence is attracted to beneficial objects or detrimental objects, how can, why should such a person waste time in performing insubstantial karmas? By discrimination, one should place one's intelligence in Krishna. So that's what Prahlad Maharaj also, Prabhupada quoted Prahlad Maharaj. But Prahlad Maharaj also says, Matirna Krishne Paratasvatova. So ultimately, one has to fix one's Mati in Krishna. So otherwise, rest is all relative only. That's what is here is indicating. So that unchaste woman is actually the materially absorbed intelligence. Okay. Is there a purport?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
A woman who has no husband declares herself independent, which means that she becomes a prostitute. A prostitute generally dresses herself in various fashions intended to attract a man's attention to lower part of her body. Today, it has become a much advertised fashion for a woman to go almost naked, covering the lower part of her body only slightly in order to draw the attention of a man to her private parts for a sexual enjoyment. The intelligence engaged to attract a man to the lower parts of body is the intelligence of a professional prostitute. Similarly, the intelligence of a living entity who does not turn his attention toward Krishna or the Krishna consciousness movement simply changes dresses like a prostitute. What is the benefit of such foolish intelligence? One should be intelligently conscious in such a way that he need no longer change from one body to another. Karmis change their professions at any moment, but a Krishna conscious person does not change his profession. For his only profession is to attract the attention of Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and living a very simple life without following daily changes of fashion. In our Krishna consciousness movement, fashionable persons are taught to adopt one fashion, the dress of a Vaishnava with a shaved head and tilak. They are taught to be always clean in mind, dress, and eating in order to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. What is the use of changing one's dress, sometimes wearing a long hair and a long beard, and sometimes dressing otherwise. This is not good. One should not waste his time in such frivolous activities. One should always be fixed in Krishna consciousness and take the cure of devotional service with firm determination.
Any comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes, Muktikesh Prabhu.
As in Allegory, it was written, who a person who does not discern the good and bad tendencies of the intelligence. So I will just.
I know what you are going to ask. Can I guess?
Yes. How to discern?
To discern that also needs intelligence. That's what you are going to tell, right?
And many times we see that with intelligence only, people have justification. Whatever people do, whether good or bad, yeah, in that sense only. Yes.
Actually, that is why that intelligence should always be. So therefore, we cannot completely trust our intelligence. Therefore, it has to be always guided by other Vaishnavas. So, almost a year or two back, there was one Prabhupada disciple. I just forgot his name. I will tell you. I think Gaur Shakti Prabhu or something like that. So he was in New Vrindavan. He was a very good friend of Maharaj. Maharaj personally had invited him to GV to show him, you know, how, you know, Prabhupada's desire for New Vrindavan had started, at least started to manifest here at GV. And because this devotee was very much, involved in actually construction. And he very much knew what Prabhupada wanted. He was the one, that letters that Prabhupada had sent about his plan for New Vrindavan and all, he was like very much involved. And he was also present when that whole plan was, you know, sort of sidelined and the new plan came up and that started getting executed. He was very deeply hurt. And then one Bhagavatam class, literally sitting on the Vyasas, and he broke down completely. And he was like, literally he could not, because it was, staying here, we never knew what Prabhupada had, what was Prabhupada's plan. We had never seen Prabhupada. But here was a person who had dedicated his life completely, last more than 40, 45 years, you know, serving Prabhupada. And when he saw that, you know, and that actually Maharaj had accomplished what Prabhupada wanted it for New Vrindavan, he was so moved, actually. He could not contain himself. He was crying. And then he made a very, very important point. He said, look, let's get realistic. He said, there will definitely be a time when your spiritual master will not be here with you physically. Okay? So, he has left behind so many instructions for you. And then, there will always be some instructions which could be understood one way or the other way. And then he said, you all should have the habit or the culture of coming together and discussing the instructions of the spiritual master, so that one person using his tiny intelligence does not interpret it in one way and then keep on, that may not be the right understanding. He says the right understanding of a spiritual master's instruction comes when devotees dedicated to the spiritual master come together and discuss. And when there is such a discussion, then, lot of pros and cons of one particular kind of understanding comes up, and then it is all churned, and then a unified idea comes out of that. So basically, that's the point. You know, each one's individual. See, till we become self-realized, our intelligence cannot be trusted. So therefore, the protection, till we become actually self-realized, the protection for our intelligence comes from the Sangha. So like-minded, very solidly dedicated devotees coming together, so that, one person's intelligence does not take, go in one particular direction. You know, it is always protected. Like, that's my understanding. I don't know if it's relevant to your question, but is that relevant to what you asked? Or
I was thinking then, but can we understand like that? If we ask vertical, too many devotees come together, then we may not come conclusion also.
Nay, they should, that is true, but that is always safe. Because what if that one devotee, he has not understood the instruction properly? Then it will start a different parampara only. Potentially. I mean, that is the extreme I am telling. So therefore it is always good that well-intentioned devotees, okay, well-intentioned, dedicated devotees come together and churn out what could our spiritual master have been meant, or what, how to understand this. So then, you maybe there are multiple facets to that particular instruction, but at least when like-minded, sincere, dedicated individuals come together and churn this out, then you get various facets of that instruction. And then at least there is some amount of unified understanding. Then you can move forward.
So that was only my further point was that, so means at least some devotees who are like-minded, they should agree with that point. Some of the, like even in Prabhupada disciples, we see that some of the decisions not everyone may appreciate, but at least we can see that some of the disciples have agreed that this is what pleases Prabhupada.
There may not be 100% consensus,
but
at least a majority. I mean, of course, like certain things you cannot decide by voting also. But most of the things, you can definitely, we are not trying to vote, but we are trying to understand with that mood. Aisa nahi hai ki, arre, tu mera dost hai, abhi dekho, aap iske liye voting karne ka. I mean, it's not like that. You should vote for this. So it's genuine. Everyone is interested in trying to understand what could be the understanding. So such people come together and they share their viewpoints and then various aspects, various facets. And then they say, when Prabhupada actually made this statement, I was there. And you know what is the context? This is what we were doing. And in this context, Prabhupada presented this. Oh, is it? Then that presents a very new dimension to that whole understanding. Like that.
Yes, Prabhu.
Like that. So that's why he said, this is reality. And he said, New Vrindavan is suffering from that time till now because there was one person who refused to consult. And he took all the decisions. So even though other God brothers were there, who had also heard, who were also working. But there was one person who took the decision, everyone followed. But if only at that time there was, the group of devotees would have come together, consulted with each other and moved forward, you know, maybe Prabhupada's vision would have manifested in your Vrindavan. So he said, you know, this is one thing. If at all there is something that you have to learn from the new Vrindavan episode, he said, this is what you should learn. That learn to come together and discuss. Especially, he said, you know, the many instructions that the spiritual master would have given. Of course, this is not easy. This is anything but easy. But we can, but while we are still young and new in Krishna consciousness, we can start cultivating this culture. If this culture is cultivated, then it is very healthy actually, in the long run. That's what he was sharing. He was sharing this.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Prabhu, very
well. Okay. Okay. So thank you very much. We will end our discussion here and continue this discussion tomorrow. Okay. So, and about the Friday thing, we will discuss little later. I have one urgent commitment now. I have to attend to it. So we will see what we can do. Either if Friday can be shifted to Saturday or something, we will discuss it a little later. Okay?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srimad
Bhagavatam ki jai.